Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Everyone who's listening, hello, sacred beings. We are so excited for this first episode, the first guest episode in season six. And today we have Cher Jolene here with us. She is a metaphysical midwife, so to speak, helping people birth themselves into their highest timeline, connected to their purpose, and thriving in sharing their gifts.
So good.
She's also the founder of Daughters of Ra, shamanic fitness, and the youth program Glow Up. And I can attest to that. She is glowing today, right here, and also glowing the moment that I met you at the Conscious Life Expo. We were both at the Magic and Mystery panel, and I just immediately felt drawn to you and your beautiful angelic aura and the way that you just showed up in prayer, in service for the highest good of all. And I was like, yeah, she's got to be on Sacred Sister Podcast. Oh. Here you are.
Here we are.
Welcome, Cher Jolene. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be diving into the quantum field and activating the divine genome. Mm-hmm. I know that this is something that you're very passionate about. And so before we're going to dive into the conversation, let's get a little bit more of your medicine into this field. Yes, you're already doing it in the sacred space. So if you want to share a little bit about that medicine with us now, a few minutes, and then we're going to dive deeper into the conversation about it.
I just want to say before that, it was such a cool, epic panel at Conscious Life Expo to be on the Magic and Mystery panel with you, and all the ways that we get to conversate around magic and the miraculous and intention and prayer, and how that all correlates to just accessing the divine genome using the tools that we have, our voice, sound frequency, our intention, our presence. And that's really, I think, what we're going to be diving in today, all the tools that we have as creator beings and this human vessel to ignite our divinity and upgrade our DNA and activate all that's within us. That is the medicine. So with that being said, I would invite everyone that's tuning into the quantum field to just take a deep breath here together. And three more with an audible exhale, breathing deep into the belly, allowing the belly to expand. Letting out a little giggle. And two more on your own. Allowing the energy to just ride, whatever sound, vibration, emotion wants to come out. Ain't gotta sound pretty. And then placing a hand on the heart and just noticing where you're at, where your breath is, inverting the gaze inward. Eyes are closed, third eye opening. And now as that third eye opens, just invert that third eye, turn it backwards. Don't think about it too much. Just turn that eye inwards to gaze at the brain. Peering into the center of the brain. And as you're doing this with a straight spine and an open heart, relax all the muscles in the body, relax the shoulders, relax the jaw. Just choose to be fully present, to invoke all of your presence, to notice what pieces of you aren't fully present with yourself here now. And taking that inverted eye that's gazing at the center of the brain and connecting it to the stream of energy that runs all the way down the spine into the earth. Like a jolt of lightning, feeling that electricity move through your breath down into the earth, rooting you in, rooting in, rooting in, rooting in. We must be rooted to rise high. And now for this next short little minute here, begin to open your crown chakra. Visualize two huge nostrils. Yes, nostrils. Floating above your head, breathing in through these nostrils. Noticing when you do this, the energy from the crown chakra begins to flow, the crown opens, and the energy from the divine, the energy directly streaming from your soul star, from your core soul presence, starts streaming in, downloading in. Downloading, downloading, spiraling in, almost visualizing this spiral, activating your DNA, allowing a little smile. Noticing how the smile affects the energy that's channeling in, the energy of gratitude, adding the energy of gratitude for the last 30 seconds here before we dial it in. Maybe inviting in a little giggle. Tuning into that piece of you that was a child, that knew your destiny, knew your dharma, knew what you came here to do, who you came here to be. And just taking the last 15 seconds here to yourself, asking if there's any vision, anything that you need to receive really quickly. For 10, 9, 8, accessing the full presence in 7, 6, creating change in 5, stabilizing 4, deep breath, invoking the Holy Spirit, Trinity 3, accessing divine duality too. Becoming one whole, complete one. And now find the zero point, the absolute zero. Forget for just 10 seconds. Who you are, where you are, and what you're doing, find the zero. Beautiful. Opening the eyes and just coming back into full presence, shaking the hands around the body, moving the energy, moving the chi around, and just moving your hands in any way. If there's any mudras that want to come out real quick, we're just here for 10 seconds, just moving that shakti, that new prana around the aura, cleansing the aura, activating the aura, clearing away any debris. You can shake your arms out and around, above your head, around you. Just shake it up for 3, 2, 1. Oh, so much fun. Yes.
I love it.
I'm sweating.
Yeah,
I'm literally, do you see the sweat right now? The AC is on in my house, but do you see it? I'm like glistening. I wish everybody could see it. There's drips dripping down. Just.
It's that fire.
It is the fire. It's the fire. It really is.
Hear it. Yes. I love it so much. Thank you so much for guiding us through this. This was so fun. I love your inner child that comes out and plays.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a big journey letting her lead the way and learning to be my own Holy Trinity, my own father, mother, and still letting her, my inner little one, lead the way and being the mama that protects her and guides. But it's what I find with children and these rainbows that are coming in and connecting to our own inner little rainbow child, that we knew all along who we were. And it's coming back to just untapping or tapping back into what we were drawn to when we were kids, sort of visualizations and what we would do when we played alone by ourselves, where our heart wanted to go, what we drew, what kind of art we made. They're all just pieces that we left for ourselves to find. So it's so beautiful tapping back into that inner child and just letting her be free. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Oh my gosh. There was a point whenever you were speaking on the permission, on the embodiment, the flood, the download of the highest self coming in. And I feel like a lot of times my mind goes, I have Gemini sun and Sagittarius moon. So there's this beautiful pole playing all the time where I'm constantly extending myself to the other perspective. And I just was envisioning potentially even some of our listeners right now who maybe haven't given themselves full permission, maybe even ever before in their lives, of like, wow, I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to be bigger, to be blossomed, to allow myself to radiate, to feel into what we're talking about here, faith, prayer, surrender, these unseeable energies and forces that really take that feminine trust. They take that ability to like feel into something that feels risky for a lot of us who didn't grow up with faith. And just right here, right now, if it was even kind of triggering for you of like, oh, give myself permission, what does that even mean? It's like, oh, these can be some of the most beautiful breadcrumbs, what you just facilitated, to help people really feel into something that may be very unknown to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what's coming to mind just hearing you say that is, we all have the ability to access this high state of faith. Like what I like to say is unfuckwithable faith, unwavering faith. And we can all tap into that. It's our birthright. We all come from the one. On some level, we're all connected to that. But what I find with the breath is we're programmed to not breathe deep enough. So we have to breathe to a place where we can push past the lower level, whatever it is, scarcity, root chakra stuff, and move into the higher states, because the faith is in the heart. So if we have blockages around here, in the heart center, getting the energy and the breath and the prana to move into the heart, and also connecting to the crown chakra. When we linked in that moment, the divine stream of the crown chakra energy streaming through, connecting to the divine in that way immediately. That's a tool that you can immediately use to open your connection, your unique connection to your divinity and the co-creative forces of the universe. So whatever you're having faith in, whatever you're praying for, as we are the prayer that's praying the prayer forward, and the prayer is unfolding through us every prayer that we pray. So every time we open a portal of prayer with ourselves or with others, that's the most power. That's what I'm the most passionate about, getting people, especially women, together to pray. I want to see women's in a circle with their feet on the ground, their feet in the earth, holding hands, connected to their wombs, connected to the power of their yoni, their creative life force, moving the chi and the prana from the earth up into their central system, opening, expanding, just like we just mentioned, having, giving ourselves permission to expand together. And it's orgasmic. Prayer is orgasmic. And big piece of what I like to share is when people think of prayer, they think of like kneeling and on the, you know, the hands. And that's great. I pray like that quite often. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's this whole other ball game of how we get to pray, and it's orgasmic and it can be messy, and it can even look, because we're breaking down all of the different ideas of what a wild woman looks like when she prays. It can look, some may look at it that have programs and be like, oh, that looks demonic how those women are praying or whatever, because we might be rolling around in the dirt and moaning and not, well, yeah, moaning and singing our prayers and releasing simultaneously anything in our body that is keeping us from tapping into that energy. So sometimes as women in the womb, releasing deep grief in the heart, releasing dense energies in the womb and the yoni, it can sound like I'm praying and I'm also, you know, I'm releasing any energy with my orgasm that's keeping me from tapping into that state of being at one with Sophia, Christ consciousness, or whatever the God energy is to each being, each woman. But to tap into that faith, when we're, a lot of us as a collective, especially right now, holding a lot of energy in our root chakra, stability, scarcity, just what's happening with the economy, especially with our light workers being so tested. It's like so many, myself included, have been really tested this past year and a half of holding this new frequency as we're bridging and building heaven on earth. And it takes this unfuckwithable faith, and it gets to be, it gets to feel good. It gets to feel good. We get to do it together. And we got to release, and our breath has to be more expansive. Our breath has to be more expansive than anything that's sort of holding us back. And then from there, tapping into the breath and moving it through our body and working with the intention, the prayer prays us forward. And it's interesting. I was contemplating last night a little bit around prayer and what prayer really, what is prayer, right? What is prayer? We could pray a prayer, but what prayer really is it's an unending, ever-ceasing energy. So when we're completely present with our breath and breathing, that is the prayer. So anything that comes from that true presence that is tuned with the heart portal open, heart open, prayer, that's what it is. It's a frequency. And so we get to dance and move and shake and create prayer portals and do all of these things and use our word. And I've seen miracles happen through prayer. I've prayed prayers for and seen miracles happen for, not for other people, and in ceremonies, working with other healers, praying together. And you can see, especially when you're sitting in like an ayahuasca ceremony, you can see the energies more clearly with the medicine, and you see the life force energy moving through the room. Or if you have different healers that are praying over someone, it's another form of prayer, is the laying on of the hand. So from that presence, from the presence of prayer, we all get to become healers. That's where the laying on of the hands is, of tuning into that. It's touching our own wombs and getting together and touching each other. So it's from the state of prayer that the miraculous opens, that awe and wonder open. And for me, right now on planet Earth, being very connected to this energy and also simultaneously being so humbly human and forever a student and very, you know, trying to figure it out as an artist and figure out, as we all are, not figure out, but allow it to come forth with what our unique dharma and destiny is and how to step into it. Prayer has been the most transformative piece of my life. And I'll never forget some of the most just life-changing moments where I've been in a deep state of prayer, and I've opened up this portal with my Shakti energy. So I'm like hands on my womb, I'm holding my yoni, I've already done my practices and got really embodied. And then I just make a statement to the universe with all that I have, please, whatever is in my way, release it. And I say what I want, and that also comes with a vow. So there's different components to prayer and working with the divine. What I found is making agreements or vows. So you can make agreements with the light. It's not like you're making an agreement with, like, you know, the devil where you're going to get punished. The light's always like, all right, you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Okay. You want all the funding for this project for kids or whatever, or you want to call in your investors for this high impact project, or you want to become this. So it's very clear if we're working with prayer and co-creative energies with the divine, being very clear with what we want, what we desire, and directly correlating it to how it is going to create impact for the world and better bridge the heaven on earth. So if the divine is very clear and knows that you are very clear on that, that you're very clear on that bridge, then all the masters and all the angels and all the fairies and the light beings and the gnomes, they just want to hop on your bandwagon. So we can utilize prayer to further our communication with the divine, especially now that we're tapping into the 5D. Many people can very clearly see. I have many friends that are, the light beings are all around us. I know on what podcast I'm on right now. I know we're all on that wavelength, but we are so supported. And our guides and who our team, whoever our specific team are, when we open these intentional prayer portals and get really into it, it's like we get to go to Disneyland with them and ride roller coasters. That's what it feels like.
Oh, gosh, I love this so much. I love this whole stream that just came through. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And so many different points I wanted to, like, yeah, touch on. Oh my gosh, yes. And it's so interesting that you just mentioned that and that we're diving deeper into prayer, because I feel like this needs to be said and this needs to come through. And we're in season 6, and 6 is all about devotion and being of service. And so I love that we're diving deeper into the topic of prayer here, because I literally just talked about this in my class in the School of Sorcery, where, you know, we learn about, and especially in this age of Aquarius right now, we're learning about how we are divine, right? We have this divine genome. We are gods and goddesses within ourselves. And at the same time, there are gods and goddesses, there are other light beings that are higher evolved than us. At the same time, both of these can coexist. It doesn't have to be one versus the other. It doesn't have to be religion placing God outside of ourselves. We are the humble human being. And it doesn't have to be the atheist point of view of we are the highest conscious evolved being in the universe, or, you know, on earth. And, you know, we are the gods. It can be both. Yes, we are gods and goddesses. And we have higher evolved beings that are with us, that are coming from a genuine, peaceful, loving place. And we can ask them for guidance, and we are allowed to ask them. We don't have to go through the mud of humanness by ourselves, because it's one of the hardest games of life being here on earth as a human. It's not easy. And we are allowed to ask for support. We are allowed to pray. And all what they're waiting for is just us giving them permission to interfere into our
lives. Yes, it's a free will zone. That's what I love. That's such a good point, because all of our angels are literally waiting for us to ask, because on earth it's a free will zone. So that's why it's another important piece of dedicating a little bit of your day, even if it's just a minute. You can pray while you're moving and doing things, putting on your makeup, whatever you want to do, but opening the portal and giving permission for the divine to assist, because they're just hanging out over your aura. They're like, all right, she's going through it. What are, you know, just trying to figure the human self out. Fuck. And as soon as you say, yes, Angel, Archangel Gabriel, yes, I'd like to invite in the green flame. Yes, Saint Germain, I'd like to invite in the violet flame to heal and to clear any debris. Yes, said like Archangel Michael, I would like, please protect me moving through these streets while I walk, you know, whatever it is. And also when you were speaking, another point, because I know we've tapped into the multidimensional awareness and things, is we're human, but we also have our multidimensional selves, like our ascended master selves. And it's a beautiful play of being forever a student. And for me, being humbly human while also we get to now as divine beings own the fact that we are multidimensional, you know, with different lifetimes, we get to access all of our soul gifts and all the different lineages that we've studied in the now moment and bring all of those gifts into this incarnation. And I really do believe that it is through prayer that we access that. Yeah.
What a legend.
What a legend.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This entire time I've just been like, wow, it's been so beautiful to just sit back and be witnessing these streams of consciousness flowing, oozing through your pores, truly with the sweat. You touched on something so beautiful that I kind of want to go back to. And then I'm really curious to hear more of your personal story of like what your path has looked like and how it is that you've landed here in this moment at 1140. Ones and fours have been guiding my life for many years, and Hannah even for the last like
ones and fours. I love that. I was lighting the Palo Santo. I was literally lighting the Palo Santo as you said. I picked it up, so it's another synchronicity.
Get it, girl. Let's go. So what I was really thinking about just sitting here grounding before we even hopped on the call was I was contemplating about what prayer is to me too. And you touched on it a little bit earlier, but what it really came down to for me was the presence of the heart and how deeply prayer is like a form of expressing exactly what it is that's on my heart. And this is a way that we're even able to activate our communicative artistry and reach out to expanded forms of communication, even through light language, through sound, through song, through releasing frequency in our prayers. But even so much as in just, you know, the native language that you speak, it's like turning on the vessel, turning on the vessel to allow the water to flow, to be able to communicate exactly what is on your heart and what it is that you're praying on in that moment. And it made so much sense whenever you made the correlation of the yoni and the throat, where the larynx looks so much like the vaginal opening and the cervix even. And it makes sense to me that when we're allowing these sounds, these frequencies, these flowing waters of words to come through us, that is activated by our heart, that our yoni be equally activated, that it be, I can feel when I'm in a powerful prayer session, you can feel the blood flowing through the yoni. You can feel your lips filling the inner and outer labia. It is truly such a...
I got a little tingle there. Yeah,
I know. Me too. I'm like, my yoni's like, yes, let's talk about this. It's just such a... it's such a beautiful piece of awareness to bring in. And it's one of those visceral experiences that you really understand on a deeper level when you're experiencing it in your body. Like some of you might be listening right now and you're like, well, that all sounds fine and good, but maybe you haven't ever prayed before. Maybe you have religious trauma.
Right.
And do we give ourselves, again, going back to that permission piece, do we give ourselves permission to even just come into a place of presence, not needing to pray necessarily to anyone in specific? That's something I wanted to talk on in this episode too, and I want your perspective on. How do we open these prayer portals whenever we've been programmed to believe that there's someone that we are praying to constantly, consistently? And do you feel that you need to be having someone to pray to in order to open those portals?
Absolutely. I love that question. There's so many things that I want to hit on and inspired to share just off of that. The first thing would be, I'll start from that. Okay. So no, I pray to the one or the source, all that is. I pray to all. Like that's where I get some. And then of course I invite in different angels and masters that I work with and different beings, but I resonate with Sophian energy and Christ energy, big piece of my lineage, and always calling those frequencies in and energies and anchoring the Christ heart within. However, I would say an easy thing is just to pray that all that is, and pray to the heart. and de-shamifying prayer and all of these, because it's so, even so many like workers, myself included, come in into these lineages where the deep Christian beliefs, and where we come in and we choose the parents and the lineages to move through it and forge and clear the bloodline. And I would say the biggest tip for me, speaking of tuning into the yoni and the fire, the creation energy that's at the base of the spine, and utilizing, because you want to anchor that energy and move it up into the womb, the creation vortex. So up into the second chakra and then up into the heart. And then that's how we get to pray big. And again, like we said, the breath has to be there. You can't, I don't like that word, but it's again going to be a little bit, a lot of harder for you if your Holy Spirit, your life force energy isn't flowing to tap into that energy to allow it to come forth. So with every woman that I work with or in rooms when I'm holding workshops, I'm literally like a lion mama, breathe deeper. I'm coming up to people, breathe, because their breath is so shallow, and holding the energy. And it takes willpower to be able to breathe into the womb and the crevices and the places we've been holding energy. But that's how we access the higher states of working with the divine in prayer. And the biggest, easiest way to tap into the yoni is to pray with your legs open. I'll make sure everybody heard that. Pray with your legs in number 17, the spread eagle. Pray with your legs open. We've been praying with our legs closed as women for far too long. I like to pray with my hand on my yoni, with one hand on my yoni, one hand on my womb and or heart, and just starting there so you can literally feel the energies. And you can even start, you can put the left hand on the heart when you're opening the prayer portal and the right hand cupping the yoni. So it looks like it's in a little cupping position, and then tucking it under in lotus, and even sitting with the legs open and starting to rock back and forth, almost like you're just kind of humping the energy, but you're channeling your feminine life force energy into the now moment. And it might feel really weird to start to pray like that, but then you open the divine communication. So that's the first aspect when working with prayer workshops, is just like we said, divine communication, being in relay with the universe, being in conversation with ourselves. So just beginning. So as you're rocking with one hand on the heart and one hand on the yoni, and you're opening this portal, maybe you light a candle, working with the elements, whatever you feel. And then you just begin to conversate, to talk, to share what's on your heart, clear the space, clear, this is what in my heart I've been feeling into this. I know I'm supported. I'm feeling really anxious. I know I can't figure this out. I'm really excited about this, but I don't know where to put my, you know, whatever, wherever it's at for you. And then, so that's the first piece, being in direct conversation, that I like to streamline into. And then the second piece is activating the vessel. Like we said, activating the vessel. So that's using, so after the energy, after we've kind of cleared our space and said what's on our mind and on our heart and our prayer, then we move into activating the Shakti to fuel the next piece, the third piece. So that's the breath, that's the movement, that's the releasing of any sounds, vibration. And it can look like, it can, like, whatever needs to come out to activate, and the breath. So moving into that for a period, I like to even put on some music while I do that dance in my prayer. And then once I feel fully activated, and however long it takes me to get fully activated and to feel like my oven is turned on, the heat is fueled, and I'm very connected to what I want and how it will serve the whole. Because when we're just praying with for ourselves, don't bore God with boring prayers. I mean, we can let's pray for ourselves all day. We're really important, all of us. But your prayer is always going to be 10 times more powerful when we're praying for something bigger. And also praying for you is praying for the world. So it's also that understanding too, but it's just being at one with all of it and connected to all of it in the oneness is really what creates the expansive. It immediately, when you know what you want and you're asking for what you want and what you're praying for and how it's going to serve and uplift, it immediately opens your entire magnetic field, your aura, everything. And that's the magnetism right there. That's the Shakti. So after that piece is done, right? So we've had our one hand on heart, one hand on womb, we're rocking, we're activating the Shakti, we're being in direct conversation and relay with the divine. Then we move into activating the Shakti, whatever that is. And then I like to go into what is called a petition. You can call it a petition or a vow or just whatever that is to you. Petition the universe for whatever it is. It could be something simple, whatever, or it could be something really big. because we're all working on really big things. We got a really big team that needs really big rings, and we're all here to do really big things. So it, don't be afraid to stand firm in what you want and allow your dreams and whatever you're praying for to be bigger than you thought. Maybe you've been praying for something that's just been a little too small. Maybe that's why the universe hasn't been listening. Maybe you're supposed to be praying bigger and bolder. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, those three components of prayer, really turning it on, turning it up, and then being very clear with what you want. And in that space, it's kind of coming back to the moment in time where I was in an ayahuasca ceremony in deep prayer. This was years ago, and I opened a prayer portal. I just told, said Sophia, Christ, all of my angels, all of my guides, all of me, all dimensions of me, whatever is not serving me right now, I don't care what it is. I don't care how attached my ego is to it. Please just burn it away. If it's not for me, and if it's not for my highest timeline and what I'm here to do, I'm done. Just take it. Take whatever needs to be taken away. Strip me. And I moved through that prayer and I got stripped. Coming out of that ceremony, the 2 weeks following it, I lost my dog, which was my angel, and so many other things. Like, my world just came crumbling, and or in some ways. But also, I was aware it, while all that was happening, I'm like, you know what? I know the prayer that I prayed is what caused all of this to happen, because it's what I needed. So sometimes when we fully ask to that high and holy thing, we can't pretend to know what will shift, what will come falling down to make space for that. And it's the continued trust and faith. So as we continue to pray in bigger and bolder ways and to make our stake and stand firm in it, a lot of times what we're claiming, whatever isn't in alignment, has to fall away. Therefore, as you choose to step more firmly in your divinity into this soul boot camp of the humbling earth experience, sometimes your world will come crumbling down. And it's keep maintaining the faith and then continuing to pray into that. And yeah, I'm wanting, or I can't remember your last question that you had. I think I touched on two, but my channel just opened up. Went zzz. There was so something beautiful. Mentioned. Yeah.
Can I just add something to that? And what I always like to add to it too is that sometimes we can be so ambitious in, I know for myself and my clients too at times, that we just, yes, I'm ready. I want it now. Give it to me all, right? And like, let me integrate the trauma. Let me integrate this piece. And it has happened to me before that it's like, all right, cool. So you want it, here it is. And I'm like integrating this ancestral trauma moving through me, or like this like really big and deep shadow that needed to come up, or fear that we needed to face and we needed to feel into. And sometimes it can get overwhelming. Sometimes it can get scary. And so I always want to add to this too. We don't have to always go into the extremes of strip me away of everything that I no longer need. You know, I love that you did that.
That was ballsy.
But I just want to add it to it that we can also say, let me transform in a gentle and graceful
way. Yes, yes. You know,
with like sweet, loving hands. Like, I'm all about like boot camps at times. Like, I love shadow integration. Like, I love doing it. But also at the same time, we don't have to go through the boot camp. We can grow and we can birth in a gentle way as well. And it doesn't have to be as painful.
Yes.
As we think it has to be, you know. I feel like there is sometimes we can get, there can be the narrative that, okay, you have to go through this like deepest, darkest time. And I agree with that. I've had it for myself, this dark night of the soul, but also at the same time, we don't have to always be in that place. Like, we're allowed to play, we're allowed to have fun, we're allowed to be joyful. And if there is like a big trauma that needs to be integrated, yeah, integrate a little piece of it and then say, you know what, I'm going to leave this for later. And now I'm just going to focus on the light, and I'm going to focus on the mantra.
Absolutely. And I think it's funny because we're always going to go through, we think of like enlightenment, like it's one thing we get to, but it's a consistent stabilizing and coming back to the breath and the tools. And for me, it's been about learning how to be in the dark places and have fun in them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's, and it's almost like a nervous system, and it's still training for me, because as light workers that are people that are here to be high impact leaders, we do choose incarnations where we go through these pockets of deep alchemy. Mm-hmm. We don't come here to have an easy, most of us, I mean, I don't know anyone, maybe there's lots of people that are high impact leaders that have had easy breezy lives their whole lives, but generally we come through to initiate so we can hold the medicine for that. And we're learning how to be in those spaces and to have to strengthen our nervous system so we can carry that specific medicine forth for the world and carry that in our aura. So we know we've been through the deepest layers of whatever those vibrational frequencies are that are stirring in the collective field, scarcity, lack, shame, what those are the main ones, fear. So if we've initiated through them in the darkest crevices of the place, and we only self-initiate through those pieces, learning how to be in our heart and our joy and our innocence while they're happening, that from my perspective. So once that happens, we get to create, it's almost like the visual of once we've self-initiated and chosen for it to be, it gets to be joy and it gets to be blissful, and we get to literally have those two timelines dance and make love together in those moments. Then we get to carry the vibrational codes in our aura. So whenever we're communicating or out with people and we've accessed something, we can share it in vibration and prayer. And that's kind of what it feels to me to come back to that presence and be the walking prayer. And all the times and the moments, the dark nights of the souls that we've initiated through, and we carry those moments of like those exact moments when we've been in the whatever it is, the darkest hole of ourselves, and we've reaffirmed the heart, the Christ heart, and coming back to the heart. So it's carrying those quantum moments in our field that then others can access, and we can access moments that others that have self-initiated through. So it's like this interplay of becoming the prayer that's praying us.
Yeah.
And there's so much that we like personally integrate, and then there's the collective integration that we help with too. And each one of us that integrates those shadows, turning them into light, like the alchemization and feeling and praying into the discomfort during the shadow period, we help others feeling into that exact same energy as well.
Absolutely. When you were saying that too, it just made me think again of being in those dark places and choosing to smile, like seeing the smile. There's such a, because it's the cosmic joke. If we realize we're all one, we're all love. So being in wherever you are in those spaces, and the prayer is the presence, as we've said. So bringing in, like, no matter where you're at right now, if you're listening and you're moving through whatever it is, you have to know with that unfuckwithable faith that wherever you're at right now is literally the exact thing that you designed and your soul prayed for, so you could self-initiate into your dharma. Therefore, if you truly know that, if you truly know that with all of you, you can access immediate gratitude. And so for me, it's like the training of, okay, where am I fully not embodying that faith? Because if I'm really faithful, then I would be able to access, no matter what, at any moment, that gratitude for thank you for whatever this is, because now I get to use this to share and to be the medicine of that thing. And it gets to be a part of my hero story. And just praying one prayer at a time.
That's so beautiful. You know, recently I was listening to a Natalia Benson podcast episode on the way home from Hannah's house, as a matter of fact. And she said something that struck me so much, and I feel like it's perfect for this conversation. She said, "What's standing in your way is the way."
Whoo.
Yeah. What's standing in your way is literally the way. And how many of us have had realized triggers or realized these really massive aversions or shame pieces inside of ourselves, and we just put it so far away from ourselves. We just feel so separated from it. And those are the greatest, biggest, most massive treasure troves that we never had given ourselves permission to access, to feel into, to embody.
Yes.
That is magic. What it's magic. It's magic. And it's unassuming magic, which is the fun part. And it's like, I feel like earlier on, whenever I feel like when spirituality was really like brought to social media a lot, like 5 or 6 years ago, it was actually like a lot of teachings and lessons and things that were not of this vein. It was the law of attraction pieces of the go toward what feels good and pray right, into what you want. And I just have been living for this evolution that we've been able to collectively witness, because we witness the narrative changing. We witness deeper nuance, deeper complexity, deeper dimension to all these conversations that we just thought,
yes,
oh, it's love and light. Got it.
Right. That's so right. I'm having like an overwhelming feeling of gratitude right now, just hearing you say that. You're so feeling into where we've come in the past 10 years with Instagram.
Yeah.
Like we're really doing it.
It's and the now, rise of the feminine, right? It's the rise of the
yes.
feminine energy that is the darkness, the subtleness, the emotions, the feeling of it, and the humanness as well. Totally. And really allowing ourselves to be seeing source in everything, in the light and the dark. And she has been turned into the devil for many, many years, many centuries. Mm-hmm. It was God on the other side, and he was dancing with the devil instead of God on the one side, and he was dancing with his wife, so yeah. to speak, the goddess.
Yeah.
She was turned into the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're shifting this paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. Yes. And on that, it just makes me think of the recoming of the divine feminine Christ too, the Magdalene lineage, and definitely resonate with the healing of the Christ energies and the coming back to our neo-pagan roots of working with the divine, and also having the utmost in my heart respect for Christ mm-hmm. and the Christ heart within all. And for so many years, the Magdalene was thought of as the whore. And I know in my soul that was Yeshua's partner, and that's my lineage. So for anybody out there listening, it just makes me think, I'm so happy for the divine feminine Christ to be brought back too, and for her name to be untarnished, because she was right there with him in his ministry and was an equal in a lot of ways part of it. And I see that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She was initiated as a priestess.
Yes.
And that's one of the ways that, you know, that haven't been shown as all, at all. Mary is a title for a high priestess. And we haven't been made aware of that for many centuries. And now it's coming to the surface that, oh, wow, these were like highly initiated
yes.
women that were part of this movement. And it wasn't just the one man.
Yes.
Or God incarnated as the man, but we are all gods incarnated as humans at yes. the same time.
Yeah. I wanna touch on this really quick, because just last Sunday, whenever I went to church, Mary Magdalene was brought up. It was the Easter service. Mm-hmm. And it's just so funny the way the church talks about, or I go to a born again Christian church and take what serves and leave what doesn't. But it's the home church that I've been going to for my entire life.
Oh, wow.
So it feels very nostalgic yes. and I love going to that church. But what I was going to say is whenever, because we were talking about, you know, the crucifixion, and whenever he was talking about Mary Magdalene, he was like, now we don't know a lot at all about Mary Magdalene. It just seems like such a concerted effort to like, keep it small, keep it simple, keep it the biblical text, and let's not question. And then there's the other Mary who's just referred to in the Bible. It's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary.
Right.
I was like, I kept saying like, who's the other Mary? Why is she called the other Mary? And why doesn't she just get to be talked about a little bit more respectably than just Mary and the other Mary?
I know. Yes. Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. We're giving rise to this piece that's been having a very, very concerted effort to get put in the closet and to get demonized and to be shamed.
Yes. And I feel inspired to share off of going to churches. I've been talking about this. I've gone by myself a few times, but I want to get women together that are carrying this frequency. And for everybody out there listening, I think this is a really cool idea. If we're holding these high frequencies, to just go into random churches and to not go in with any intention of being different or to conjugate something separate, but just to go share, there's so many epic churches in Los Angeles that I've been wanting to go to the Sunday services and be in the Magdalene frequency and just go praise with them, praise the one, praise the Christ, still be in the energies of what they're, but just being and infiltrating. And I feel, so anybody that's y'all in LA, y'all find me, let me know. I'm trying to get some ladies together to go to some churches every Sunday and to just share the frequency. And I think that's a really important piece. It's funny, I got kicked out of church when I was, okay, I'll start from the beginning. This is actually a good leeway point into a little bit of my story. I started going to church. Well, growing up, my family went to church on Easter and Christmas. They were never really churchgoers. But my best friend, Erica Fisher, who now I'm writing a children's book with about heaven. She's epic. She has two kids. She's amazing. But I started going to church with her in middle school by myself in sixth grade, because I just have always felt a calling for, even as a child, little rainbow baby, always wanting to know, God, what is it? All my journal entries were, as a child, I was so wanting to know what the purpose of life was and what God was. And I always just had this deep calling in my heart. So I started going to youth group with her in middle school. By the time I was in eighth grade, I was taking purity lessons, purity classes. So waiting till you're married, abstinence. And I had a purity ring, a gold. It was like it meant so much to me. And by the time I was at the end of eighth grade, I started teaching to the younger kids. So it was a really big piece of who I thought I was at a young age. And then in ninth grade, I got kicked out of youth group for wearing a low-cut shirt. And at this time, I'd already been going there for years. And it was like the biggest, might sound like a small thing, but being sent home for a shirt, it was a big thing in my childhood, being kicked out. It represented for me the pushing out of community and the shaming. So something that small, it was heartbreaking for me. And I didn't go back to church for years. I ended up, it all got kind of set aside. And it was this deep sort of trauma that I didn't look at for years of deep wounding. I was like, whatever that is, that's not for me. If they're going to kick me out because of a shirt when I'm, you know, whatever. And the deep layers of shaming around body and, yeah, there was just a lot for me there. And then I ended up going to see Marianne Williamson speak years later in LA. And every time that she said the word God on stage, I would like clench up really, like I would like tighten. I'm like, oh God, there's something for me to look at. Exactly. I was like, okay, there's some sort of trauma that I need to look at there or process. And I immediately went back to being in ninth grade and being kicked out of the youth group church and the humiliation and like the feeling of being cast out. And I could feel that it correlated to different lifetimes. Like there was a deep energy there that was beyond just that moment in time, that it was help assisting me in accessing either on the collective scale, what it feels like for a woman to be, to have a pure intention, a pure heart, and to just want to be with God, but to feel misunderstood or ashamed. And ever since then, ever since I was fully aware, I was like, okay, that's where my path is, assisting women and de-shaming humans, everybody, but more women, and de-shaming their bodies and de-shaming their sensuality, their erotic innocence, coming back to the sacred child, the holy child. So many of us as children have carried memories of shame around touching ourselves or all those different things of not feeling connected to our power centers, and how that relates to being pure, the energy of purity. And there's a lot of
there's a lot of different conversations happening in the spiritual communities around, like, let's not try to be pure. Purity is a false whatever. Why is everyone trying to purify? That's, you know, or there's, you know, and my thing is like, what? We're all pure, actually. You can't, this is who you are. And then we come into this human experience and then we got to get the gunk off. We got to get the gunk off and out. But our sexuality, our sensuality, our erotic connection to the divine is the highest and holiest thing there is. It can be nothing other than pure. Even if your eyes are rolled back into the head and you're making demonic sounds and getting whatever energy out needs to get out of your body and moaning in weird ways that sound animalistic and primal, that is still the holiest and most pure thing. So making spaces for ourselves to come into prayer in that way. And the journey that it's taken with teaching Daughters of Ra, the women's work, and getting women together to activate in this way, to pray and use our bodies and our orgasm and our bliss, and also working with womb healing one-on-one clients and getting women to access whatever energies or shame that they're holding at the bottom of their root that's not allowing them to access the power that lies there. And sometimes it's lifetimes and lineage, mother, grandmother, all the layers of what we're carrying, and we get to move through. And then also in this now moment, because sometimes it can get a little bit heavy, you just want to touch back into, we get to do it in ease and grace and love. So it gets to feel one step at a time. We can ask spirit, coming back to that, Hana, just being at one in prayer and being, okay, whatever I can integrate fully right now, whatever I can integrate in ease right now and carry forth. And then just having that conversation with the universe every time we open a portal, with a self-pleasuring portal, which is prayer, making our pleasure, our self-pleasuring prayer, or whatever it is, but to just continue one step at a time to pull the gunk out and to activate the divine, and activating the divine genome, because it really is releasing all of the shame that allows us, we can't move into those higher dimensions. When we talk about third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, these are all different playing fields of prayer. If you're praying in the third dimension, it's going to be different than praying in the fifth dimension. So we can't move up in the spiral, which also correlates to the DNA spiral, bringing in the divine genome. We can't access the spiral of that if our chakras have the gunk. In order for that matter to move up in density and vibration, we have to pull the metaphysical stuff out that isn't there. So we do it through the practices. But it's just really clear. It's really important, as if we're wanting to tap into the way that we directly communicate with source and pray and literally bring molecules, condense them down into this dimension through the power of our word, through our mind, through all these different tools that we have, that we are de-shaming the body. Yeah.
Ah, so beautiful. Thank you so, so much. And now that we are coming 12/12, of course.
Yes, I just saw that.
I've just been like hearing that. I really want to touch on one little piece before we're going to go into our sacred question, unless you want to add something to that.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I have a little bit more to talk about, but let's go.
All right, let's go. So, one of the things, we've been talking a lot about women, we've been talking about the yoni, and I just want to bring in also the divine masculine and the lingam. Do you have any insights, ideas, inspirations that you bring towards men or people that have a lingam who want to tap deeper into de-shaming their own body, but also accessing that point within themselves? Because we talked a lot about the womb and the yoni, so I just want to bring in the lingam as well.
Absolutely. I love that question. I'm so lit up to share what's coming through. I've just been talking about this a lot lately. Coming back to I had a whole chapter in my journey where I was integrating the fact that on some level we're moving up higher in the dimensions, we all realize that we're beyond gender. Mm-hmm. Once you are fully able to, every single being on you, if you're listening, there's a point in your spirit that is beyond gender. And so once we access that, a whole different playing field opens up with the way we create, because not only are we either the woman that is the fertile grounds that all the seeds get put in as the creator, we're also the projection field, the energy of the lingam that is impregnating our life and giving it seed. So I have this journey for a long time over the years. I was only connected to my feminine lifetimes that I've been a woman. And just over the past 2 years, I've been tapping into some of my masculine lifetimes, which has also helped me integrate and also in the higher realms, communicating with my beyond gender, non-binary aspect of the creator that comes through. That is I don't need to call it anything. It's just spirit. That manifest as sacred geometry, is like a light being. It's like not a boy or a girl. It's God essence, you know? So tuning into that, and also in this lifetime, accessing that non-beyond gender aspect of myself, I was then able to get in touch with the fact that I have a very big metaphysical cock that likes to fuck things. And I know that sounds weird. No, it doesn't sound weird, but in meditation, I've had moments where I'm in meditation and all of a sudden this lingam grows, this light ray from where my yoni is. And I can feel the energy of like, and the first time it happened, I'll never forget, it scared the living bahuhas out of me. I was like, I stopped my meditation. I was in like a deep trance and all of a sudden this lingam energy came in and it scared me. And the point that I'm making here is we all have the ability, whether if you're a man and you're tapping into prayer and you're wanting to tap into the energy of you having a yoni that gets to have that energy, or if you're a woman that's tapping into, hey, I want to impregnate my life. I want to fuck my life open rather than waiting to be fucked open. I hope it's okay that I'm cussing on this podcast. I'm a little, okay. So we all have both. And I don't know if we've all had lifetimes, men and women. I'm not going to say that. I don't know that for sure. But our spirit is beyond gender, and we can access those energetic principles in our metaphysical space, in our aura. And I like to say even through dance movement. So if I'm dancing in the feminine, I'm swirling my hips with prayer and I'm opening, that's my feminine energy in my heart, and I'm opening like this. And if I'm accessing my masculine, my metaphysical phallus, then I'm doing like some thrusts, like I'm thrusting it. And I integrate that into my prayer, into how I'm activating my energy. I'm clear with what I want. I'm activated in how it's going to serve the whole. And then I bring in my blockages. So I use my masculine energy to fuck out the blockages, right? So we don't need a man to do that. Men are great. And we're all great, but we can do that ourselves. We can use our phallic energy, I don't know if that's a word, to fuck out whatever we need out of our system. So I like to thrust. I can do it on a pillow, on the floor. I guide women in this kind of stuff, but it's tapping into the energy that, you know, I visualize my penis, my metaphysical penis. And I tune into that. And also I'm seeing so many men that are accessing their Shakti energy. And it's so cool to see, coming back to the last 10 years where we've come with just Instagram and social media and people being able to share their frequency, artists being able to share their frequency, light language, the way they dance, the way that they move, the way that spirit activates through them, and seeing Shakti activated in men, and also this like energy that's assertive with women, where we have the driving force and we've accessed in our energy system the ability to carry our energy forward while still being held in our feminine. But it's like that directional force, which for me comes back to, I always like to say, big dick energy. Big dick energy.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I love that stream. And you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of the energetic work behind de-armoring the yoni too. How many of us have tools, and I have the Medusa wand that I use from Yoni Pleasure Palace, which is amazing for squirting, but also it's been a really powerful piece for de-armoring. We hold pockets of tension if we've experienced sacral trauma. Doesn't have to be sexual trauma necessarily, but a lot of us hold tension and tightness within our yoni. And that, what you just said, I've never really thought about it like that. I usually think
the Medusa,
the
Medusa wand. Yeah, is that what it was? Well, you got to send me that afterwards. Okay.
I will send you. It is so good. I have some other toys from them too, but the Medusa. And I actually just DM'd Rosie Reese the other day because she was talking about how she prefers the sacred squirter over the Medusa. And she was like, how do y'all feel about it? And I was like, oh no, Medusa, 100,000% of the time, the sacred squirter is like too big and too intense for me. Side note.
But also for anyone who wants to learn more about Rosie Reese and Yoni Pleasure Palace, we actually had her on the podcast. I want to see, was it season 2? Season 3.
I think it was 3. It could be 2 though. But it was about listening
Follow
to the yoni. Follow the yoni.
Follow the yoni.
Such a good episode. But what I was going to say is just thinking of doing that de-armoring work, I had never really thought about it from that perspective of fucking the blockages away and fucking our selves in that masculine way. It's just so powerful. Wow.
I get so turned on just thinking about it. Like literally, like just being in the vibrational field of talking about fucking ourselves open. And I get like, I just want to start going, like, I'm like bouncing up and down right now. For me, and this is also coming back to when we opened the prayer portal and I counted back from 10 to 1 and that activation, working with the numbers and working with the energy of commanding change. The numbers carry different frequencies and I could go way more into that, but the ability to, as we're fucking ourselves open or we're bringing our blockages into the front to look at, and we're working shamanically as the woman, as the shamans, working through the energy and like penetrating it and moving it and loving it, including it, not pushing it away, not fucking it away, but like, oh, all of this is here for my choosing and it's accessing my most powerful divine source. And thank you. Thank you for all the time that I've sat in this so I can become the medicine and look at whatever this is from all the different angles and aspects so I can bring the medicine forth. And you're moving it and you're coming into a direct, it's almost like I always get the feeling when I'm channeling that energy in, I come to a point where it's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. And then I find I'm able to command the moment of change. And then there's like a release that happens. Mm-hmm. De-armoring has been the biggest. I have a whole course that I actually just took off, you know, or womb magic on de-armoring, and it used to come with like a wand and all the different things. So powerful, the de-armoring practices. And also I find that de-armoring the anus is very important for men and women that are de-shaming the body, because we carry so much of that back there. And a really cool, I just feel called to share this point for anybody that's releasing lower chakra stuff. It's the perineum pull, where you're putting the thumb in and activating that, and then pulling the tissue between the anus and the vaginal opening down and massaging and activating. We carry so much there. Has been a really big piece in unlocking the root chakra too. So I just want to say that yoni, and also I've been needing to get on and talk about this for some time. So people need to be de-armoring their anuses. So it's a thing.
Just so everyone out there knows.
Yeah.
Just so everyone out there knows. No, I love even the direction that this conversation has taken. And I want to bring it back to a piece that I've been thinking on a lot recently, which is whenever we're talking about how we're coming and how we're about to come. How powerful is that when we think of what are we actually saying there? I'm coming. I'm arriving.
Ooh.
I'm coming. Ooh. I'm coming into the presence of life. Like, I'm coming, and then the orgasm comes, and then we're there in the most pristine present moment.
Ooh.
I've been thinking about that so much lately. I want to talk about that more because it's so powerful and it's so ingrained in our consciousness. What does that actually mean?
Yes, I love that. I'm so feeling that. I just got activated hearing you. Yes, I'm arriving. I'm coming. And it's almost like the orgasm is like a lasso of something. So I'm like, I'm taking a piece of myself that's way out into the ethers and pulling it into here. And I'm like, now she's here. Now she's here. And our orgasms are portals into new timeline shifts, completely new timeline shifts and DNA upgrades.
Yes. And the act is such a prayer. Like having, you know, moving into the orgasm, that in itself can be such a prayer piece. And what I have been really feeling into with my partner is energetic sex, synchronized energy exchange, and really allowing him to penetrate me with energy. And it is amazing. Ooh. It feels so, so good. And it's like, and just like as you were
saying, without actual intercourse, just energy. Okay. Yes. Okay.
And just as you were just saying about the phallic energy, right? How we all have that within us, and we can literally like penetrate with that energy, and it can come from such a like, when we tune into that, literally the divine can penetrate us and it feels so good. And it's this full body orgasm that when we were taught of what orgasm is, the little clitoral orgasm is like nothing in comparison right. to this full body orgasm that is available for us to access. If we allow that life force energy to flow through us and feel into our energetic body, and that's and then with an intention, that's like the biggest prayer that we can send out. It's like
yeah, we need to look into having the erotic blueprint. It's Jaya. I just saw that Jaya was on Sahara Rose's podcast, but even someone from her team, because what you were just speaking on, I feel like is what you and I have personally dialogued on of the erotic blueprint. There's like a quiz that you can take because there are different sensuality, sexuality styles for everyone. And Hannah and I discovered that are you mostly energetic too?
Mm-hmm. I'm a sensual energetic.
Sensual energetic. Yeah. And I think I'm an energetic kink.
Ah,
it just gives so many different like nuances to how you like to play with sexual energy, because it's very often that you don't match perfectly, quote unquote, with what your partner language is and how they like to feel into eroticism. So it's just like learning the love languages. It's like, yeah, what are your erotic languages? How can I meet you in that place? And for me too, just energetic, erotic blueprint is all about the almost like the feeling of anticipation and the moving of the energies and taking things a lot slower too, making it not so physical. Physical is one of the erotic blueprints, but energetic is the play of the energy.
I like it fast energetic too. Like it's just depends. It's just like moving the energies. And I don't really know if I'm doing it or we are doing it the way that Jaya is necessarily portraying it. I'm just referring to it as the energetic because I've realized how she basically by diving into her blueprint, she basically gave me the permission and the understanding of what it is that I really want, because that's like a whole nother episode we have to talk about at some point.
Totally. I want to find out what I am. I'm going to go do that after. But the one thing that was coming to mind too with a bit of what we shared was the phallic energy and then having the intention that rises it. There's actually... So we imagine the energy moving down the spine and the phallic going out the phallus, right? So if we're a woman and we're tuning into our metaphysical cock, so the energy is moving down from the crown through the prayer, through the vortex out into the phallus, the penis, the metaphysical penis. And then it's circling up around our aura and back into the crown. and then down again through the phallus, and then all the way up, and then in through the crown. So there's like this loop, and it's an energetic chi that flows as well. That was also coming to mind. Just wanted to bring that forth for anybody that's kind of playing in this energy. And sometimes it can feel really expansive once you turn the Shakti on, and the Shakti just wants to go everywhere into all the dimensions to be able to anchor back into an actual visual component of how the energy is moving, can really integrate the Shakti and the being able to direct as the masculine, the energy flow. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring that forth.
I love guiding our partners enough to allow that energy to move through their bodies as well. Mm-hmm. And because it can really unlock, like sexual energy is so powerful to unlock chakras.
Yes.
Because we've been talking a lot about the chakra system, and we have an episode on the chakra system, don't we?
Season one, I want to say it is. Yeah.
Yes. So for anyone who's like, what are you talking about? Here it is. Mm-hmm. Season one. But that's another way of unlocking a lot of blocks within us is through sexual energy. And that helps with Absolutely. That. And then when we unlock these, when we open up the channel, it's easier to feel that life force flowing through us. And it, you know, it's just like a water hose. If there are any knots in it or blocks, it's not going to flow as easily. But when we like open them up and take the blocks out, and then prayer and conversation with the divine flows easily.
Absolutely. I've had some really powerful experiences being in the energy of prayer and having my being laying on the ground, legs open, coming back to that, legs open, and being penetrated by the divine. So we're getting into the energy of being penetrated, and I know just being penetrated by God. Force. Oh, I know. I'm not gonna lie. I know y'all have you had Zoe Dane on the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I talked to Zoe about this, and she was cracking up. I was like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I get fucked open by God, like Christ energy. Like, I was like, ooh. It's a little taboo to talk about, but when I'm praying to God and I'm praying to Christ, like allowing that energy of the Magdalene and Christ, and it doesn't even have to be Christ. It can be source energy, the masculine energy of God, whatever it is, but to allow your body to be penetrated and to allow yourself to roll an orgasm. And you have to be connected to the breath. The breath is really the only thing that has to be there. And other than that, just intention and presence and flow, but allowing ourselves to be opened by the divine and that force that can just shoo, us open into different dimensions and to further embodiments of ourselves, activating the DNA. It's the energy that orgasmic bliss, that energy that unlocks and activates after we de-gunk the system. The more gunk we clear out, the faster that we can upgrade the DNA. And so orgasm every day.
And you know, coming back to what we were saying about connecting with the inner child and what we wanted to do when we were younger, when I was a maiden, probably my teenager years, and I was first introduced to pornography, I was like, oh, I didn't resonate with it at all. I was like, I don't like that. And then one of my things I remember I wrote in like a vision board presentation, I used to make these PowerPoint presentations as my vision board of what I want to manifest in this lifetime. And one of the things was create porn for women. But what I wanted was that, like, the energetic, you know, like imagine a woman being fucked by God and like seeing the energetics and seeing the chakras opening up and seeing the life force, you know, now with visuality, like with visual editing of any video, we can actually make that visible. Oh my God.
Yes.
I've been talking to my partner about it too. He's like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Fun.
Well, it's just fun because it's like the conversation between three women having this
if all of us have been thinking about this, how many other people out there are thinking about this? I know I can tell you right now, I used to regularly watch porn in my early 20s. I think probably to this day, not probably, I've never watched porn with a man in it ever, 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 ever. It's just never been something, because it's like, I don't know, for me, that kind of porn is made for men, because it's right, so, right. It's so outside of what I know that I want to experience, for sure, even though I've only ever been with male partners. But yeah, if it's existing within us in this conversation right now, I can only imagine how many more and more and more and more conscious women are seeking out sensual, sexual, erotic pieces that are more resonant with them.
And even going back to what you were saying, like taking it really slow, what does it look like? Because some women don't know what it looks like to slowly be turned on energetically. Totally. So not even getting to maybe not even getting to the intercourse part or whatever with woman or by herself, but showing a woman slowly turning herself on and what that looks like in the energy system and how her breath opens and all the different inner visuals that can be activated and shown through content. Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I feel that so deeply. And you know what? I know that we've been on the verge of bringing this to a close for quite a while. I'm going to be upset with myself if I don't do this. Can I look up your birth chart?
Yes.
Yes, please. I've been like so curious, just like, I kind of feel like either this house, these signs. I'm very curious to know what's going on.
Oh my God, I would love.
I've been wanting to ask you too. And I was like, no, I've want to actually start asking you. I wanted to ask you before we hopped onto the podcast. I was like, oh no, I forgot.
Yeah. For probably like 40 minutes, I've been like, oh, I have to know. I have to know.
I'm so curious.
Yeah. I've been really curious to see your fire placements and then also your ninth house placements, because I feel like you're a woman after my own heart when you were talking about when you were a child, just wanting to know the truth of all that is. And even whenever you and Hannah were dialoguing on the process through which we enact change, having those powerful prayers. I know it's after my own heart, Sagittarius moon, that I'm like, whatever is needing to be released from my timeline, allow it to burn away. And it's like, this is the magic of knowing ourselves so deeply too, and knowing what we need in certain seasons of our life, what really turns us on and how we want to move. Because yes, it's amazing to have those powerful prayers and to wipe the slate clean and enact that magnitude of truth that sets us on the right course. And we can also tune into it gently, but that is such an individual basis. It's like, this is the fun of our healing journey, is that we are able to decipher and discern purely within ourselves where it is that we're at and what it is that we need and to what magnitude.
Absolutely. And I will say, I've had a few of those prayers that have turned my life upside down, and I've never regretted any of them. The last one was when I was, because it's always been at times where I've been at a layer of uncertainty, and I've been like, I have to move into it. And so the last time was when I was not sure if I was going to stay with my fiance. We've been separated for 9 months now. Dear brother, love him. We're going to be in each other's lives forever. But I really was unsure. And I was like, what? I could see both timelines. I could see the timeline of getting married and having the kids and that whole thing. A great timeline. I could also see another timeline that was completely different. And so I just had to, it was another prayer of, I said, God, and this man that I'm deeply in love with, I'm in love with our dog. I'm in love with our future children that come to me in ceremony. You know, it's like, but I had to cut that too. And like, it was like a dagger of like laying it down, whatever is the highest timeline and whatever isn't, please God, burn that away. And please allow me to have the courage to stand in the fire and let anything burn away from me that isn't vibrationally in alignment with the highest timeline and embodiment of me. And so again, I went into another right after that, I know you're about to open my chart, so I'll make this really quick, but a portal of deep alchemy of from that moving forward a week later, had the conversation and my whole life got turned upside down. And also it's exactly what I needed. I got to look at everything and I got this beautiful container but I always know when to pray those prayers. I don't pray those prayers, you know, I'm gentle most of the time and I like ease and grace. Even when I'm in ceremony, I pray to the medicine, you know, please allow ease and grace. And if I'm going to just work with me gently. Mm-hmm. And then also every now and then you come to a point where just got to move right into it. Mm-hmm. So being wise enough to know where we're at and what we need and doing it.
Yeah. And you have a very strong Scorpio energy as well. And it's that Scorpio is that phoenix that is rising from the ashes, is not afraid to go dark and deep.
I have two phoenixes on my necklace right now. So I love that you said that. Yes.
Oh, so beautiful.
Are you looking at my chart? Is there Scorpio?
Yeah. So your sun is in Aquarius.
I'm very Aquarian too. My Mercury is in Aquarius too. So the way I communicate is very Aquarian.
And it's that higher self down. Activation that, you know, that crown chakra, big crown chakra open, and that higher self activation and bringing it in. And then it is square. Your sun is square, your Pluto in Scorpio in the fifth house. And Pluto is that deep Scorpio energy of every once in a while, diving into the darkness and the depth. So anyone that has like a really strong Pluto or Scorpion energy in their chart, we are getting used to the discomfort and we actually enjoy going into the depths and the darkness where other people are kind of scared of. So just wanted
that's
to
a blessing. That. That's I feel blessed to at least be able to have fun while a minute.
Yeah. And, you know, to alchemize it. And that's part of Pluto's and Scorpio's gift for us to go into the depths and the darkness and then come out of it, find our own way out of it, and then guide others that are in the depths of it to find their light out of it.
Yeah. One of the reasons that I really wanted to look up your chart was because I was suspecting big fire energy of some sort. I was anticipating big Leo and big Sagittarius, which then makes you think of the fifth and ninth houses that they rule as well. So I feel like that Aries midheaven is what I've been sensing a lot. I also carry Aries midheaven. And there's this really beautiful aspect with the midheaven ruling over the 10th house of how you attain goals and how you wish to be perceived. There's this energy about you that here we've been able to witness it through the duration of our conversation together. It's just this wind force. It's this, the wildfire force, the bonfire that radiates and just fucking goes and takes us on a journey. And I have been feeling that so deeply because I hold that within myself too. So I know the energy really well. And it's been lovely to witness it in you as well.
Thank you. I love hearing that too. I just feel so blessed by that divine reflection. I could ask so many questions. I'm very much a novice in astrology. So,
and both of you are Cancer risings too.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how you usually, if you're holding that, a similar midheaven, because the rising sign is what rotates the wheel. If we're holding a similar midheaven, we're holding a similar DC, we're holding a similar IC, a similar AC. So
not necessarily. Aries, yeah. Being seen in the world, right? Being seen is being seen out in the world, like on the center stage. Is that an Aries? Is that connected to Aries? I don't know if I'm being called to ask that. Yeah. Okay.
Aries is the spark of fire and the warrior and the pioneer and the trailblazer. And just sparking new conversations and new fires and new ways of doing things and trailblazing new ways, new pathways, and not caring about whatever people think.
Yeah. Since it's that first house ruler, it can be such a self-oriented, like self-indulgent, self-absorbed. Yeah. Sign too. I have a double Aries husband.
It's a very exciting partnership. And I love even thinking of the Aries energy as having that 0 or 100, because the things you're really into, you're so fucking into it. You're so passionate about it. It turns you on so much. And then the things that you're not interested in that much, it's just like literally a 0.
It's like either a holy yes or a hell no.
Exactly.
I so feel that. That makes sense. I literally have this thing where sometimes I won't, if something doesn't excite me, I can't do it. Like, I'm like, I just can't put my energy there. And it has affected me in business and taking ownership of things that I need to get done. And also as a creator being, as I've journeyed, I've realized that actually I just need to be paying attention to the things that light me up, and following those. So it's almost like,
and every one of us has Aries and Mars in their chart. So for anyone listening, like, you also have that fire and that pioneer spirit within you. We just have it on different spectrums and in different areas and different importance of each of our lifetimes. So yay, that was fun. Little check into your chart. I'm happy we did this. Thank you. Thank you, Dear Shalene. This was so amazing. I'm so grateful that you're here with us, that you've shared your medicine, that whatever you're doing in this world, we know is so for your highest good and the highest good of all. And it's coming from such a pure heart and love that we're just, I just appreciate you so, so much. So many things that you've said, I'm like, oh, I feel you.
Thank you so deeply. Thank you so much. And I just want to say on that note that the purification process, even though it presents still humbly human as a student here, and every day I'm in contemplation with my psychic field and willing to call myself up on my bullshit in the moments when the ego is our friend, but when the ego comes in, and being wise enough to know to stay in the heart and to tend the flame of the prayer, the presence is the prayer, and being wise enough to know as the human Cher Jolene, when I falter or when I move up and down my spectrum. So it still takes a constant affirming and still forever a student to tending the flame.
Yes. And, you know, and it radiates when we do the inner work. Others feel it. Our aura is different. And it's a constant thing, you know, just like taking a regular shower. If we don't shower, people are going to smell it. So they're going to smell our bullshit, you know. And if we do take these regular showers and feel into what has been on my aura, then it becomes more pure. And going back to what you really love teaching as a girl, you know, the purification process, the purity, it's just a different way of what was taught, but it's that Aries energy of I'm going to teach it my own way. And that's that purification of coming back to the pure heart and the innocence.
Thank you. What do you have going on for the community, Cher Jolene? What do you have as offers? Is anything coming up?
Hey, yes, I'm actually
find you.
Absolutely. Well, Cher Jolene on Instagram, CHER_Jolene, JOLYNE. Here for any of you guys out there, any of y'all that any women that might need some space. I do virtual sessions as well as containers over a longer duration. So that's on the table for women who are wanting to activate and step further into their unique destiny dharma and be lit up and turned on by who they be in the world. Don't be afraid to reach out. And then I also have, I'm at a place right now where all of my offerings, I have my women's work, Daughters of Ra, and then I have shamanic fitness, but that is all being consolidated into one offering called The Offering. And that's going to be a retreat space in LA very soon. I don't have the date on it yet, but it's going to be an epic collaboration where artists get to come, and there's so many epic components. The whole goal is to make consciousness sexy, right? And we want to get together in community and integrity and authenticity. And also we want it to be sexy and fun. So that's what this is. Christ is fun. Christ energy is sexy. And we get to heal through coming together in prayer portals and activating our divinity. So we're going to be doing movement, dance, ritual, all done in this chic manner. So if you're in LA or willing to travel to LA, hit me up and I will have the, with at the end of this month, which we're, what month are we in? We're in May 2022, but they're going to be happening in LA probably twice a month, called The Offering. Mm-hmm. Also an artist. So showcasing different artists, and it's an open space for you to come share your soul gifts. It's breaking the mold. That's what I want to see, is everybody getting together and sharing their piece of the puzzle. So that's really what this is, The Offering.
Love yeah. it. That sounds beautiful. Thank you so much. And we have at the end of each episode, we always ask three questions. Those are called the sacred questions, and you can just respond to them in short sentences.
Yes.
Or even just words. First question is, what does sacred mean to you?
Presence.
Beautiful. And who is a sacred sister to you? And what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
I think sacred sisterhood is found in any moment where two women can gaze into each other's eyes and open their hearts to each other and see the oneness in each other. And my prayer is that every woman is a sacred sister. And wherever there, some women are not able to fully drop into that sacred sisterhood presence and show up in that way, but I still see every single woman as a sacred sister. Every single woman is my sister. So yeah, just continuing to be present and open up those portals of presence so we can drop deeper into each other.
Beautiful. And how do you turn something normal or mundane into something magical or sacred?
Through the power of my breath, my laughter, my joy, my Shakti energy, and they're not taking it so seriously.
Yes. It's that Jupiter in Leo too that you have in your first house. I just love it. It's that Leo mane and inner child play. Love it so much.
Oh my gosh, so much expansiveness in your pure expression. It's so fun. Thank
you so much. This is the most divine reflections. Thank you. I feel so lit up by tuning in with you angels and being invited to be on this beautiful, beautiful Sacred Sister podcast. I feel so lit up, so soul nourished, and I know I'm going to have the best day ever moving forward. And may everyone out there listening do a dance in the name of all that we talked about, wishing everyone so much pleasure and orgasm and bliss and love. And
yes. Thank you so much, Cher Jolene. Ah, what a beautiful time. We hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. And to each and every one of you here listening to us, tuning in till the end of the episode, we thank you for your presence here. Sacred Sister Podcast would not be what it is without you. We thank you for your presence, for your sisterhood, for your walk that's guided you here. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you so much, beloved. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode today, beloved. If it resonated with you, we ask you to please share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, life, and growth.
And another way to show your love and support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. And if you hang out on Instagram and your feed is in need of more uplifting and conscious spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful day and we'll see you in the next episode.
Namaste, beloved. Bye.